So let's go to Genesis. We continue in this flow. Stay, you know, stay, keep your faith up. We're going to flow, continue to flow. God's already done the healing, but there's more coming. So I want to encourage all of you, don't miss any of these meetings. Because, and I've been doing this for a long time. For what I can tell you, no any meetings are going to be alike. Number one. Number two, it's going to get stronger. If you think that this is strong, wait till tonight. Wait till tomorrow. Wait till Tuesday. So it's going to get stronger and stronger. Amen? So, because we move from faith to faith and glory to glory. Genesis 22, verse 16 or 15. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Genesis 24, 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening and lifted his eyes and looked. And there, one translation says, and behold, the camels were coming. Somebody said, the camels were coming. And then Rebekah lifted her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she said to her servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant says, it's my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. One more scripture. Why are you reading so many scriptures? Because we want to make it legal. Thank you for your collaboration. We're not called to preach our opinions. We are called to preach the word of God. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6. The multitudes of camels shall cover your land. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Final scripture reading for those of you who are getting tired. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. It's all going to make sense in a minute. It's all going to weave together. And if you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. In the matchless name of Jesus, I want you to stand up one more time if you can. On your feet. Amen. I want you to raise both of your hands towards heaven. And I want you to say, make this prophetic declaration with me today. Say this, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I boldly declare that I believe in the supernatural. I believe in miracles. This morning, Lord, I ask you to give me eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to receive, a will to obey, and faith to act. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take my position in Christ, and I take authority over every spirit that does not confess the name of Jesus Christ. I command them to leave this place. And I declare that this place is an open heaven. The Spirit of God is free to move. The angels of God are ascending and descending. They are going to and fro to execute the commands of God's word. The Holy Spirit is free to move. Preach, Holy Spirit. Teach, Holy Spirit. Prophesy, Holy Spirit. Heal the sick, God. Do what only you can do. And take all the glory in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Can you burn with a shout and say amen? All right, tell the person next to you, you may be seated, but please don't be defeated. So Charles Finney, the famous revivalist, said there will be no revival if Mr. Amen, if Mr. Wet Eye are not present in a meeting. So I kind of stole that from him and rephrased it and made it my own and said there will be no revival if Mr. Amen, Mr. Hallelujah, or Mrs. Glory are not present in the meeting. So the question I have this morning is Mr. Amen here today? Amen. Is Mr. Hallelujah here today? Hallelujah. And is Mrs. Glory here today? Glory. You see, some people come to church to speculate. Some people come to church to pontificate. Glory be to God. Some people come to church to spectate. But God is looking for someone that will come in to participate. Can you say amen with fire? Can you say hallelujah with fire? Can you say glory three times? I want to encourage you. These are not ordinary meetings. These are special meetings. And let me just explain something to you before I dive into this word this morning. You know, Genesis 1:14, it says, let there be light in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as a sign, as signs, some say signs, to mark sacred times and days and year. As signs to mark sacred times and days and years. I believe that there are times that are marked by God as sacred times. When we come together, you know, actually God himself, if you look at Leviticus 23 there, that he seven times a year, he called out for special meetings. And here's what he said about these meetings. These are my appointed festivals. The appointed festivals of the Lord, not your festival. I know I'm calling out the meetings, and you have to be in the meetings, but these are not your meetings. These are my meetings. Appointed festival of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies. Somebody say sacred assemblies. In other words, these were divine appointments. So God scheduled meetings. Hello? God himself scheduled special meetings. And he marked those days as sacred assemblies. Why? For the purpose of relationship and revelation. So they could experience possibilities in God. So these are not just another meeting, other meetings. No, these are special meetings marked by God as sacred times for the purpose of relationship and revelation, so you will experience the possibilities in God. So what is impossible with man is possible with God through the miraculous demonstration, activities, and administration of the Holy Ghost. It is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. John the Revelator had a vision and he saw a window open in the heaven and he heard a voice saying, come up higher and I will show you more. So if you will come up higher with your faith today, tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, if you will come up higher with your expectation, come up higher with your desire, come up higher with your disposition, God will show you more. God will show you more, and you will experience relationship, revelation, and possibilities in God. And many of you have already experienced that this morning. You came in one way, sick, discomforted. You're going out healed. Because this is a day marked by God. So invite somebody. There might be, you know, your favorite show may be going on TV. That's what you got a DVR for. Show up. Text somebody. Invite them. Amen. Now, this is just to give you kind of like a mind. This is a theology behind this meeting, the prophetic mindset for these meetings. And we will preach, we will flow, we will prophesy, and all of those things. Now, this is not my first rodeo here in this church. I was here before, last year. As some of you are familiar with the nature of our ministry, the miraculous, the prophetic, we also understand that when gifts of the Spirit are in operation, that there must be a prophetic dialogue to refine understanding. The Bible says, let one prophesy, let the other judge. Of course, my gifting and calling has submitted to the leadership of this church. And we understand that sometimes because of prophetic malpractice, people have been hurt through the operations of the gift. But in the same breath, we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. The Spirit of God still moves supernaturally. Paul said we know in part and we prophesy in part. And when gifts are being used in the context of the New Testament, it's for exhortation, edification, and comfort. God is not here to embarrass you, to shame you, but he's here to love on you, to encourage you, and to empower you. So when the word of knowledge comes forward and the prophetic word comes forward, don't shy away from it. Pay attention, listen, respond, and then write it down. All right? And test it. Amen? All right. You write the good in gold and the bad in water. So my camels are coming. I will introduce it. You know, if we can cover it through it, I'll go through Tuesday if I don't change direction. But I'm carrying a prophetic word. Say, my camels are coming. Say, my camels are here. See, I may not look like it, but I am a camel.
I am a camel.
Respectfully, ladies. A good-looking camel, that's right. The story of the choosing of Isaac's bride, I believe, is one of the most beautiful stories that has ever been recorded. In this particular story, we have the narrative, the explanation, the illustration, and the application of it. We have the facts, we have the figure, we have the reference, the record, and the representation. There is a prophetic application, there is a practical application, and there's a present application to the story. Abraham is a type and shadow of God the Father in him being willing to sacrifice his only son, Isaac. Isaac is a type and shadow of Christ. Number one, in his miraculous conception. How many of you know that Sarah didn't conceive and give birth till she was 90? Thank you for your support. Wow. There's hope for a lot of people in this room. He's a type and shadow of Christ in his miraculous conception and birth, and also him as a 40-year-old man being willing to be sacrificed by his dad on the altar. How many of you know 40 years old, hey, Abraham, I love you, but I'm not that much into you. If you're going to try to sacrifice me, you know, we're going to duke this out. I can. The point is, Isaac had to comply. He was a type and shadow of Christ. Jesus Christ went willingly to the cross. Next, Rebecca is a type and shadow of the bride of Christ. Eliezer, the servant who goes out on this mission to find Rebecca, he is a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit because his name in the original language means God has help. And John 14 tells us that the Holy Spirit is a helper. So we have the narrative, we have the explanation, the illustration, the application, we have the fact, the figure, the record, the reference, the representation. There's a prophetic application, a present application, and a practical application. Abraham does not obey the call of God until he's 75 years old. Now, most people at the age of 75 in New York, thank you for your support, will say, I had a good run. Let me get myself some golf clubs and a golf cart. I'm going to enjoy my grandkid. Let me get a boat. I'm going to enjoy fishing, playing golf, and enjoying my... I had a good run. I might volunteer on Friday or Saturday in the Salvation Army or something. I retired. But not Abraham. 75 years old, he's taking on a new mission. Not something local, but something global. He's going to change the world. He's going to be a father of many nations. Hello? He didn't retire. He refired. What does that even mean to you? Ladies and gentlemen, age is just a number. I wonder if Mr. Amen has left the building. I say age is just a number. Your real age is your attitude towards life. If you want to act old, you're going to get old fast even when you're 21 years old. But if you want to be young, you can be young even 80 years old. Come on, somebody. Listen, you are never too old to have a new dream. You are never too old to have a new vision. Come on, don't retire, but refire. God still has a purpose for you, even if you are 75 years old. I wonder if Mrs. Glory is here in the house. So in the process of obeying God, God places a demand on his life. This is where we land in Genesis chapter 22. And ask him to lay down on the altar his most precious asset. And Abraham obeys. Abraham obeys. And this is where he gets a powerful prophetic word from God. The Lord said to him, because you've done this thing, what thing? You didn't withhold your only son from me. In blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. Let me give you some visual aid. How's that going to look like? Well, your descendants shall be like the stars in heaven, like the sand on the seashore, and they shall possess the gates of their enemies. Now, when you do a little etymology, word study of these words, in blessing, I will bless you, and multiply, I will multiply, you begin to see the magnitude of this prophetic word. That word blessing is the Hebrew word barak. I'm not preaching about Barack Obama. Don't even go there. Barak. It literally means to bow down, to worship in adoration. Because you barack me, I am going to barack you. Now, don't get it twisted. God does not bow down to us. He's of the higher order at a higher rank. But what he literally means is, because you put me first, I am going to put you first. Hello? And how am I going to, how is that going to look like when I put you first after you put me first? I am going to multiply your seed. And that word multiply has several root words in the original language. One of them is rabah. One of them is rabi. The other one is rababa. Just to make it a succinct explanation, it literally means I will rain down accumulation of blessings on you. I wonder if Mr. Amen has left the building. It literally means I will multiply you by the myriads. I will multiply you by 10,000 millions. Hello? And has that accumulation coming down, and has that multiplication by the myriad, how's that 10,000 millions going to look like? Let me give you a little visual aid. It's going to look like the stars in heaven. How many of you know you can't count that? It's going to look like the sand on the seashore. How many of you know you can't count that? And on top of that, victory is coming to your house. Oh, when he says your descendants shall possess the gates of the enemy, the gate is a place of stronghold and advantage. He's saying on top of that, I am bringing victory to your house. I'm bringing victory to your children's house, to your children's children's house. Hello? Now, how many of you ever dream or, you know, wish you were part of a family of someone that was like a billionaire or very wealthy and that they left you in their will? Now, how about Bill Gates leaving you in his will? Or, you know, Warren Buffett? Or somebody else? Hello, how did you ever want it? I'm going to tell you this morning, actually, your situation is much better than that. It's too quiet in this Presbyterian church. I say your situation is even much better than that. Come on, because I heard Paul saying in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, that if you are in Christ, I said, if you are in Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the, come on, somebody. Abraham is a pre-Christ man. And he's made this promise, but you are in Christ. What God promised to Abraham is automatically yours. What is the prophetic application of this? What is the practical application of this? What is the present application of this? God is saying to you in this season, if you put me first, if you barack me, I am going to barack you. I am going to rebib you. I am going to rabbi you. I am going to rababa you. If you put me first, I'm going to rain down accumulations of blessings on you. I'm going to multiply you by the myriads. Come on, victory is coming to your house. I'm going to multiply you by 10,000 million. Victory is coming to your house, to your children's house, to your children's house, to your children's children's house. Come on, somebody. Shout my camels. I come in. Shout glory 3 times. Now, none of this barack blessing and rababa blessing would take place unless Isaac gets a wife. Where are all the single ladies? Hello? So now Abraham is 140 years old. Isaac is 40 years old. Now, you know, when your kids are like 20-something years old, graduating from college, they don't have a date, you don't stress over it. But it's a whole different ball game when they are 40. Now you're not just, you start to get nervous. Pastor Ed, do you think the intercessor can do a special assignment? We need to bind some devil or something. 40. You know, and some of the ladies, you know, they're believing God for a husband. First, they get a vision. The vision is a prince on a white horse. After a few years, they pray, all they see is a horse. A few years later, they're getting desperate, a donkey shows up. That's how many of us marry these beautiful women of God. Look at your spouse and say, he, huh? And these women of God are so powerful in the spirit, they can take a donkey and turn them into a prince. Come on. That's how many of us look good today. Hey, you're all of that because of her. Glory be to God. What's the point, big black man? The point is, I'm trying to paint a picture of pressure. Pressure. They are under tremendous pressure. Sarah just died. Abraham is 140. Isaac is 40. And Abraham won't let his son marry any of them Canaanite women. He doesn't want the seed to be polluted because he wants Jesus Christ to come. Hello? And so they represent two men that have received a word. And they're standing on the word, believing God for a breakthrough. How did the answer arrive? Genesis 24:63 say that Isaac went out into the field and he was meditating. What was he meditating on? They didn't have the Torah yet. Moses hadn't written the word yet. He's probably meditating on the prophetic word that his dad received from God. And Lord, I need a wife. A man needs a woman. I'm 40 years old. I'm believing God for this Barak Rababa blessing. Thank you for your support. Hello? He's out there meditating, speaking the word. He's meditating. Eh? He's like some of us, Barak Rababa. He was not praying in tongues, but that sounds like it. That's what some of you need to do. Barak rababa shokababa rababa. Glory be to God. And the scripture says what? He lifted his eyes, and behold, the camels were coming. And who was riding on the back of the camels? Rebecca. The fulfillment of the Barak and Rababa blessing came riding on the backs of the camel. Glory be to God. Hey, everybody under the sound of my voice is believing God for something that is near and dear to their heart. Some of you are believing God for your miracle to be set into motion. Some of you are believing God for your promotion to be set into motion. Some of you are believing God for your economics to elevate. Some of you are believing God for a prodigal to go up, to come home, for a spouse to get healed, or someone to change. Everyone under the sound of my voice is believing God for something that is near and dear to their heart. And you are standing on the word just like Abraham and Isaac were. The prophetic word for you today is that the camels are coming. I wonder if Mr. Amen has left the building. I said, the camels are coming. The camels are coming. Rebecca is the picture of your future. It's a picture of your breakthrough. It's a picture of your healing. It's a picture of an open door. It's a picture of favor. It's a picture of a turnaround. And she came riding on the back of the camels. And I'm here to tell you, New York, get ready. The camels are coming. The camels are here. Shout glory 3 times. What is a camel? It is a transporter of God's blessing. It is a mechanism that God will leverage to bring about the fulfillment of his promises in your life. Hello? In the Jewish calendar, we are in the year 5783. 380 is the decade of pay, P-H, my last name, mouth, face in Hebrew. 3 literally means camel in the Hebrew. In the original language, the Talmud, original Hebraic literature, numbers are connected to words and even connected to picture. It literally means 3, that in the Talmud, it's literally the word camel. The number 3 is actually the picture of a wealthy man chasing down a poor man. Hello? And that word camel also means a burden bearer, one who carries a bounty. Hallelujah. The camels are coming. So my daughter, she heard me preach about this in Italy around November. And she gets gifts and stuff when we go to places many times. And they gave her a gift. In that gift was a little camel. And when I told the people to say, the camels are coming. And she yelled in front of everybody, "Daddy, no. The camels are not coming. The camels are here." Tell somebody, the camels are not coming. My camels are here. Glory be to God, the transporter, the burden bearer is here. The transporter of the bounty is here. The transporter of your miracle is here. The transporter of the power is here. What did they transport? Those camels, they transported what? Silk. They transported gold. That's the type and shadow of wealth. They transported incense. Hello? So Isaiah 60 verse 6, we read it. He's prophesying. He says, multitudes of camels shall cover your land. So this breakthrough is coming not just from one way. It's going to come in multiple ways. Come on. God is going to block the enemy in multiple ways. Come on. The enemy may try to come in one way, but God will send him in multiple ways because God can block him in multiple ways. Come on. Multitude of transporters of God's blessing are coming. They are going to carry the incense, that's the anointing, the gold, that's the wealth. Matthew 2:11, when the wise men came, they brought gold, they brought frankincense, they brought myrrh. Frankincense, myrrh have a property of healing. They came riding on the back of camels. Now, the Bible doesn't say specifically that they came riding on the back of the camels, but if you read historical account, before the age of airplanes and trucks and cars, camels were the mode of transportation of that day. Hello? Why? They're very resilient animals. They can go for 2 weeks without drinking, 3 weeks without food. They're very friendly animals. They can, you know, they used to provide even shelter for their owner when they travel during the winter. They could warm them. And they have, you know, you have the dromedaries. They are camels with one hump. And then the other camels have two humps. They can have up to 80 pounds of fat stored in their humps. That's why they could go so long without eating. Somebody say, "I'm a camel. I may not look like it." Some of you men with a big belly, if your wife says you need to go to the gym, you tell her, "Hey, I am a camel. This is my hump." You say Barack, Rabah, Rababa. That's camel talk. Come on, somebody. Hello? Glory be to God. Some of you, you're waiting for your camels. Some of you, God has called you to be a camel. Some of us, our camels are here, but we have to learn how to unpack them. Hello? Unpack your camel. Now listen, Christianity is not about acquiring, like many of us believe, but Christianity is about unpacking. Unpacking what God has already provided. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't say to be continued. He said, it is finished. Romans chapter 5, you know, Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, it says that we have access into this grace through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God and we have access into this grace. New Living Translation says, into this place of undeserved privilege in which we stand. Hello? Ephesians chapter 2, we are blessed by God the Father who has blessed us with all, come on, all blessings in heavenly places. Hello? The blessings, your blessings come through the adjudication of Christ. Redemption pushes back into a pre-Adamic fall adjudication. What does that mean? When Adam fell from sin, fell in sin, he didn't just fall in sin. He fell from the place of dominion. And through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, he pushes back into that pre-Adamic fall adjudication, meaning we're back in that place of dominion. We have now access. Through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God and have access to God where we stand in this place of undeserved privilege. Glory be to God. So Christianity is not about acquiring. It's about unpacking what God has already provided for us. The message of the camel's coming is about you learning how to tap into that supernatural provision of God that he has already brought through the mechanism called the camels. Hallelujah. So I'm here to decree and declare to you, it's time to restart. The last several years, the body of Christ in America at large, the first strike, we went to racial tension and division. Next strike, we went through a pandemic. Hello? Many people went through devastation, lost, and it's hard for them to recover. But the Lord is saying to you, the message of the camel coming to you is just a restart. Come on. It's time to restart again. Not only to restart, but it's time for a reset. How do you reset your computer? You push Control, Alt, and Delete. Hello? In other words, give God control in this season. Let him delete your negative past. And let him create an alternative future for you. It may not look possible in the natural, but the camels are coming. I'm going to restart by resetting my faith. Come on. Not only I'm going to reset my faith, but I'm going to realign myself with what the Spirit of God is saying. Alignment is the proper positioning of two things in relationship to each other. I am going to restart by resetting my faith. I'm going to realign myself with the priority of God's word, the priority of my relationship with him. And the third thing is that God is going to restore. Oh, restore what the enemy has stolen in the last few years. Come on, somebody. Oh, Caleb, it's already old. He's 80 years old. He went through a season of lust, like many of us in the last few years. But here's what Caleb said to Joshua. I am 80 years old, and my strength is still the same. Right now, as it was back then. he lost 40 years, but God brought a shift. How did God do it? He took those 40 years that he lost because of somebody else's fault, and God put it into the next 40 years of his life. So he lived the next 40 years as if he never lost the last 40 years. That's why at 80 years old, he could say, my strength is still the same now as it was back then. I'm here to prophesy to somebody. The camels are coming. The resources are coming. You might have been discouraged. You might have been down on the count. Your application might be on the bottom of the pile, but it's about to move on the top of the pile. Come on, it's time to restart. Come on. It's time to reset your faith, reset your vision. Realign yourself with the word of the Lord, and God is bringing restoration to that which was lost. Come on. God is going to take the past years, what you lost in this church, in the last years. God is going to put it in the next years. Come on. And you're going to go forward, and you're not going to break down. You're not going to break even, but you are going to break through. Come on. Because what you've lost in the past is coming back. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I declare new platform, new money, new resources, new relationship, new door, new favor, fresh anointing, fresh revelation. The camels are coming, and the camels are here. Shout glory three times. Shout glory three times. This is not just for the church, but this is for you. Come on, whatever relationship you lost, whatever finances you lost, whatever years you lost, it's coming back to you. Come on. It's time to restart by a reset. Come on. Reset your vision. Reset your expectation. Reset your confession. Reset your faith. God is about to do something great. The Spirit of God is stirring the atmosphere with great force to release signs, wonders, and miracles, and breakthrough with prophetic administration, prophetic demonstration, prophetic manifestation and administration of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Shout glory three times. Shout glory three times. Oh, basombre teteka, sumbrakata. The camels are coming. Sumbrakatata, sumbrakatata. Camels are coming. Oh, my God, restoration, reset. Come on with the purple stand. I prophesy reset. I prophesy restart. I prophesy restoration. Align. The camels are coming. The camels are here. Glory. Come on, step out. Reset. Reset. Restoration. In the name of Jesus. Come on, both of you, step out. Step outside. In the name of Jesus, step out. The camels are coming.
Come on.
The camels are coming. Resets. Restoration. In the name of Jesus. Reset. Restart. Restart with a reset. Restart with a reset. Reset your faith. Reset your vision. Reset your expectation. Power. Camels are coming. Camels are here. Come on, sister. Step out of the aisle. I prophesy a restart, a reset, realignment, restoration. Reset your faith. Camels are coming. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, sir, step out. Step out. Step out, step out. Come on, when I call you, step out quickly. Step out, step out, step out, step. The camels are coming. I release it. Reset your faith. Restoration. Miracles. Signs and wonders. Resets. In the name. Breakthrough. Miracles. Oh, I release it now. Miracles. Come, come. Shout glory three times. I release the power of God. Thank you. Hey! Breakthrough. Miracles. Signs and wonders. Are you ready? Are you ready? Hey! Are you ready? I see restoration of broken relationships. Before the day of Elijah, I will turn the heart of the Father to the Son and the heart of the Son to the Father. Family issues, sibling rivalries, sibling dysfunction. It's turning around in the name of Jesus. The prodigals are coming home. I said the prodigals are coming home.
Yes.
The camels are coming. I see a revival coming. It's going to hit New York City. It's going to hit New Jersey. The camels are coming. The wind of the Holy Ghost. It's blowing in this region, in this territory. I see the power of God moving supernaturally. We break through miracles, signs, and wonders. In the name of Jesus. Pastor Sarah, Pastor Clinton, you pour your life, but every seed that you've sown, God is going to take those years. They are not lost years, investment years. But going forward, hallelujah, you're going to be like Caleb. My strength is still the same right now as it was back then. I see God's pouring His resources, pouring His life, pouring the fulfillment of your dream and vision. They're going to come, good measure, pressed down, shaking together. I see a fresh restart with a reset, with an alignment and restoration. Oh! Oh! Jesus! Come on, Pastor Ed, Pastor Craig, come, 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 come. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray for the leaders of this ministry. You have what it takes. And God is sending camels to this church. And you are called to be camels. The anointing, oh, they carry the incense, the frankincense, that's the anointing. They carry the gold, that's the wealth. They carry the myrrh. That's the power in the name of Jesus. It's not that you didn't have it before, but it's coming even on a higher level and a new level with the wisdom to administrate and facilitate what God is doing in this place. I declare a restart with a reset, a realignment, and a restoration. I prophesy the camels are coming. They are here, fresh anointing. Come on, raise your hands in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Same anointing. The same anointing. Camels are coming. Restore. Rebuild. Restore. Rebuild. Restore. Rebuild. For many of you in this room, how many of you have lost something in the last 3 years? You may have lost even a loved one. We understand that. But I'm talking about people, you felt like you've lost time, you lost money, you lost influence, you lost some of your platform, some of you, your business went down. Raise your hand right now. I'm not going to take the service too long. I know many of you. But just prophetically right now, I want you to receive this. I'm going to say to you, the camels are coming. Say, my camels are coming. My camels are here. I believe it. I receive it. Now. 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 Here's what I'm going to say over you. Restore. Rebuild. God will give you a comeback after a setback. Your camels are coming. Restore, rebuild. God will give you a comeback after a setback. The camels are coming. Breakthrough. Folks, this is just an introduction. But very quickly, everybody be seated. As we come into these meetings, those are special meetings. We're going to let the Spirit of God move. But we never want to forget, folks, you can be in the middle of all of this power moving and not know God. Knowing how to swim does not make you a fish. And going to church does not make you a child of God. John Wesley had a dream. In his dream, he was taken to the gates of hell. And he asked a question. Are there any Methodists in here? In hell? They say yes. Any Presbyterian? Yes. And he named several other denominations. Then in his same dream, he was taken to the gates of heaven. He asked the same question. Are there any Methodists here? They say no. Any Presbyterian? They say no. He was agitated. He said, then who then is on the inside? They said, only those who accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Your denomination cannot save you. Your church membership cannot save you. Knowing how to swim does not make you a fish, and going to church does not make you a child of God. To be a fish, you must be created by God as a fish. To be a child of God, you must be born again. I'm talking to a few people here this morning. Number one, if you are in this meeting and you have never asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, I'm talking to you. Number two, if you are here today, maybe you asked Jesus to come into your life, but you're not living right. I'm talking to you. Number three, you may be here today. You may love the Lord, but you're bound by a habit that does not glorify God. I'm talking to you today. You may be here today. You're not sure that if you die today, you go to heaven. I'm talking to you. God is not afraid to be called your Father. Jesus is not ashamed to be called your Savior and your brother. You are never too low to be lifted. You are never too dirty to be cleansed. Never too broken to be mended. God wants to be your Father. Jesus wants to be your Savior. Today, God wants to give you the miracle of transformation. According to 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Every eye closed and every head bowed. If you're in one of those four conditions and you want to accept that call of God, he said, behold, I stand on the door and I knock. If you hear the voice, harden not your heart. If you say, I want to get right with God, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Just between you and God. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Put your hands high so God can see it. Thank you. I'm about to pray. If you should have raised your hand and wanted to raise your hand, raise your hand. Join all these people who are raising their hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hands down. We're not here to embarrass you. Let's pray together with all those who raise their hands. Say this with me. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I repent from all my sins, and I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I receive the miracle of transformation. Transformation in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit, in my body. I will never be the same. Never, never again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So this morning, you can open your eyes back. We just introduced this message, and we're going to pick up this evening. How many of you are blessed by this word? It's a prophetic word. My camels are coming. We're going to show you in the next several messages how to unpack them. They're here, but how do you unpack them? I'm glad you asked the question. We're going to start to unpack them tonight. And if time permits, we're going to show you how to be a camel. If we can't do the whole, there's a whole message just on how to become a camel for God. If we can't do it, we just give you a flash, summary about it.